You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, November the 7th, and we're going to rock this town tonight. We're going to rock Memphis. We're going to rock wherever you're listening to. Thank you for tuning in this evening. November the 7th, it's going to be a fun show tonight. All of the shows for the rest of the year are going to be fun, and it kicked off actually 2 weeks ago with our 11-year anniversary show, and then last week with the fun and festive Halloween show. Tonight we've got Jared Taylor and Sean Bergen. Next week, Brother Nathaniel. We've actually got the whole month of November. The shows are already planned out, just waiting to be executed. I'm so excited. And then, of course, in December you get into the Christmas season and all that great music we play in December, in addition to the scorching commentaries to balance out the cold weather. It's going to be a great rest of the year here in the political cesspool, and I'm glad you're along for the ride. You know, I wrote a few days ago, I guess it was earlier in October, about the fact that I had turned down an interview with NBC. NBC wanted to fly me up to New York and put me up for a couple of days and do a taping for a three-part documentary series. I believe we talked about that in the last couple of weeks, although I can't remember for sure, but we definitely wrote about it. But the long story short is I rejected an interview request from NBC that I just mentioned, and you know, I discussed it, I researched the project, I talked about it with a few of my confidants, and I ultimately came to the decision, the conclusion that it wouldn't serve the best interest of our brand. On the other hand, you know, there's always two sides to that argument. You never want to walk away from a guaranteed sizable audience. When you're on national television, cable television, you're going to get an audience. A part of you doesn't want to leave that on the table, the chance to reach people. But the determining factors for me in this is, number one, the interview request that was sent to me, I felt was very disingenuous. I didn't like the fact that it was a taped interview rather than one that would be aired live, because of the fact that they can leave your best stuff on the cutting room floor and pick and choose things out of context to air to make you look bad. And, of course, I have an extremely busy schedule. So for those three reasons, I decided to turn it down. But as I wrote on the website earlier this week in a follow-up to this story, as fate would have it, I was in Washington right around the time that I was offered this opportunity. And I took advantage of the occasion to catch up with Jared Taylor. Of course, American Renaissance is based in the Washington, D.C. area. And when I was there, I caught up with him. And honestly, I wrote this on the website too this week. Very few people in this movement that I respect as much as Jared, but there are none that I respect more than him. So he's one of the guys that not only have we been friends for over a decade, he's been appearing on this show since its very inception. So I talked to him because he is one of the few people that has as much media experience as I do. In fact, frankly, Jared has more. he's been around longer. American Renaissance, we've been on the air 11 years. American Renaissance has been a publication for over 20 years now. And so he's a guy that I can go to. He's a fellow traveler. And I told him about this interview request, and I told him that I was most likely going to turn it down, but I wanted to seek his opinion as well. And as a matter of fact, there wasn't a consensus on this. Keith Alexander and Sean Bergen, well, Keith was a little ambivalent. Sean Bergen said, turn it down. Sam Bushman said, take it. And Sam had a good idea about how we could take it and make the best of it no matter what they decided to do. And Sam had a very good idea on that. But ultimately, I decided against it. Jared said, I should do it. And I said, well, you know, Jared, I'm just not sure that it's something I want to do. And, I, you know, you don't have to say yes. Just because you get an opportunity from the media, you don't have to say yes. We don't owe them anything, frankly. I would rather be on my show than travel up to NBC. I don't need the publicity anymore. We get publicity all the time. It's not something I need to mint the political cesspool. And because I don't need them and because I have nothing but utter disdain for them, I don't feel obligated to go out of my way to accommodate their request. And that's just another thing. But at the same time, you don't want them to hire a paid actor to serve as the voice of the white man. You don't want them to go down to a trailer park and find some guy missing teeth that's going to come out on there and do a poor job of articulating our issues. So on one hand, for the reasons I already mentioned, you might decide against it. But on the other hand, if somebody has to fill that position, you want it to be one of the most eloquent spokesmen that you can. And as Jared was trying to convince me to do it, I said, Jared, you know, why don't you do it? I said, if I absolutely positively turned it down, would you take it? And, of course, Jared does not need me to feed him interviews. I mean, let's just get that straight right now. Again, he's done more than I have and has done it for longer than I have and, frankly, does it better than I do. And I wouldn't say that about hardly anyone else in the world, but Jared is Jared, and he's a great guy. But, you know, and we've done a lot here on the political cesspool, but we've done more than we can remember. In fact, I'm going to talk about an incident in the second hour that when we were compiling our top 25 last week or a couple of weeks ago on the anniversary show, this one was just totally forgotten because there's just so much that we've done, so many headlines that we've made over the course of the last 11 years. It's just it's utterly incredible and amazing. But anyway, so Jared said, yes, well, if you do turn it down, you could pass their name along to me. So that's what I did. So I wrote back to the producers. I actually put that email exchange up on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I said, I'm not going to do it. Here's why. But I would heartily recommend Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance. He's the guy you need to go to. And they did. And they reached out to Jared. And Jared accepted the invitation. Now, if you don't know the rest of this story, exactly what happened, you're in for a treat. I really like the opportunity from time to time to share with you behind the scenes encounters, whether it's something that I've done, something that the political cesspool has been part of behind the scenes. I like peeling back the curtains and giving my audience full access to things. And if it's not something that we've been personally a part of, I like to have that person on the show to talk about it. Like, for instance, when Richard Spencer was arrested and expelled from Hungary last year, we had Richard on to talk about it. Fascinating story. You're getting it straight from the principal source. And I think that makes for great radio. Not only does it make for great radio, it's something that our people need to know. Our people need to know the inner workings of these organizations and these people that are against us. Well, anyway, Jared went on the show, and he's going to tell you all about it right when we come back from this break. Jared, standing by. You're not going to want to miss this story. And this is just the beginning of what's going to be a great show. Stay tuned, everybody.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. As promised in that opening segment, we have with us now our featured guest for this hour. And a featured guest he is indeed, the one and only Jared Taylor, graduate of Yale University. I don't know if he's the only graduate of Yale to ever appear on the show, but if he's not, he's in very short company. And of course, in addition to that, Jared is the longtime founding editor of American Renaissance, amren.com. Do like I do, make it a part of your daily reads on the internet. And he is the author of several books, including his most recent, White Identity. Jared, welcome back. Great to have you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure, James.
Well, I shared with the audience a little bit of the backstory on your appearance so we could take full advantage of our time with you during that opening segment. So let's get to the part now. You accept the interview request from NBC to appear on this program. It's going to be taped. They agree to come down to accommodate you, and you tape it in Washington. I want to read, and I link to it on my website, and I would encourage everybody to check it out on yours, the article that you posted recounting this experience at American Renaissance. Just the first couple of sentences read this: "The prejudice of journalists is transparent, but I have rarely seen such a flagrant display of it as I did last night during an NBC interview. I am a pay your words, of course, Jared, but I took off my microphone and walked out of the studio." Is that unprecedented for you and your very extensive media?
No, that experience? Is second. That is only the second time I was on a connection with the Young Turks. That is a television program, and this Young Turk guy called me an idiot, and I said, "Well, that's just not the way we behave in the United States of America. Maybe that's what you do in Turkey, but that doesn't work in the United States. Bye bye." But no, it's very unusual. Mostly I hang in there to the bitter end. I try to get my ideas across, but I don't know if you explained to your listeners why I was so frustrated and fed up with this host.
But, no, not at all. I left the meat of it for you to sink your teeth into, so carry on.
Well, we were talking about various matters, and I'd explained some of my dissonant but very sensible views on race, the kind that I think your readers would sympathize with. And so the host had gotten the impression that I wasn't your conventional liberal on these subjects. But he brought up a case that I had never heard of a black man who had been murdered by white people. And I said, well, you know, I bet those white people got many years in the big house. He said, one of them, as a matter of fact, got the death penalty. And I said, good. And he looked at me, and he started to laugh. And I couldn't quite understand that reaction. And I said, well, wait a minute. Are you saying that you don't believe me when I'm glad that this guy who killed a black man got the death penalty? And basically, his reaction was, yes, I can't believe that a, quote, racist like you really is actually pleased that a white man who killed a black man got the death penalty. In other words, he seemed to be thinking that anyone who is a dissident from the conventional crazy liberal views on race is such a wild monster that he is upset if a murderer actually has to pay for killing a black guy. I said, well, wait a minute. I mean, if that is your view of who I am, if you are incapable of believing what I'm telling you about this, this interview is over. We're obviously going nowhere. So that's the point when I just took my microphone off and walked out. But there had been other signs that it was going to be very heavy going. One was the whole question of Trayvon Martin came up. And I said, well, of course, he'd been killed in self-defense. Well, my host was a black guy, and he said, what? He was astonished by this. And I said, look, this was established by a jury. A jury refused to convict Zimmerman because it concluded that he had shot Trayvon Martin in self-defense. He stops the interview, and he says to his staff, get to the bottom of this. Look this up. As if he had never heard of the fact that this was a self-defense shooting. I thought, oh, boy, this guy.
Jared, if I could just interrupt just for a second, just to give the audience a little bit of background information. This wasn't just someone off the street that they picked up, that NBC brought into the studio to pit against Jared Taylor. They were attempting, ladies and gentlemen, to put their best foot forward. I was privy to some of the behind-the-scenes information about this particular interview. The gentleman, if you can use that word in this instance, that interviewed Jared, his name is Tony Harris. I believe he is an Emmy Award-winning journalist who has worked for CNN and Al Jazeera, and he's doing, I guess, contract job for NBC in the capacity of this particular program. So this is some guy that's obviously very well-renowned in the media, which, of course, means nothing to informed people like American Renaissance readers or political cesspool listeners, but it should be stated that this was a guy that's at the top of his field.
Well, you know, so one would be led to believe, but after he had made this boneheaded remark about Trayvon Martin, he then went on to describe websites such as that of the Council of Conservative Citizens as he meant to say that they are inciting violence. But he kept saying, these websites are so insightful. They're very insightful. You know, I thought, oh, my gosh, this guy.
Again, just to ask you one question. So here you are, Jared Taylor, and if anyone, I mean, anybody who's ever listened to you in any interview, who's ever read your work, who's ever heard you on this show, if they're longtime listeners, know how well-educated you are. How does a man of your esteem, I mean, did you keep a straight face when you hear? He meant to say they incite violence. Rather, he said insightful. They're insightful. Yeah. Rather, they incite. What was going through your head at that moment?
What is going through my head is this is going to be very, very heavy sledding. Getting through to this guy is going to be next to impossible. But I didn't say. Look, insightful means full of insight, bonehead. I was tempted to say that, but
If it had been live, this is where you could have just you would have made your fortune. Say, I agree. Yeah. They are very insightful.
Exactly. You know, I was tempted to do that, but as you say, when it's taped, you know they're just going to dump that. They're never going to show that to a larger audience. But you know, what struck me about this is I don't think that this guy is all that unusual in that he has a pigeonhole in his mind. He thinks, okay, this guy does not believe the races are equal. This guy would prefer to live with white people rather than in a mixed society. That means he is a monster. And therefore, anything that is uncomplimentary that you can think of about this guy is bound to be true. I think it shows an utter lack of imagination, the extent to which the left has succeeded in completely brainwashing people, and to think that if you just step one step beyond the required line on race, then you are an absolute monster.
That was what I felt, Jared, was the most profound passage of your piece, which we reposted on our website. And, of course, people can find the original content at amren.com. Amren.com. Support the work of people who are out there fighting for you every day, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest right now is one of those very few men who do that, Jared Taylor. But just to recap, because I want to get to that paragraph that you're leading into, and I know we're coming up on a break, but just to recap before the music starts playing, we have Jared for one more segment. You're sitting down for this interview at NBC. They put forth one of their most decorated interviewers who completely is oblivious to the inner workings of the Trayvon Martin case. He didn't know that Zimmerman had been acquitted because he was found not guilty, or rather that it was in self-defense that the jury found him. Number two, rather than saying he was under the impression that websites that discuss racial issues incite violence, he said they were insightful. And then he brought up a case from 1981. That's what we're going to pick up with Mr. Jared Taylor right after these words.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare, but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party, .us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're back with Jared Taylor, Amrin.com. And folks, I just want to share with you that, Jared is taking time out from an evening at which he is presently engaged. He's at a meeting right now, and he's taking a few minutes out to be with me and you this evening. And I know you are as appreciative of that as I am. Jared, right before the break, we were bringing up the fact that your interviewer brought up a case from 1981 that when I read your accounting of it, it didn't ring a bell with me either, in which I guess apparent Klansmen had murdered a black man. And we'll have to take him for his word that this actually occurred. But assuming that it did, what's striking about that to me is he had to go all the way back to 1981 to find a clear-cut case of murder, or of white-on-black murder. Was that something that occurred to you during the interview?
Well, you see, he brought this up as the most recent case of what is referred to as a lynching. Well, I looked up this case, and they're only alleged to have been in the Ku Klux Klan. But it apparently is true that these were a bunch of white guys who went out looking for a black person to kill, and they found one, and they killed him. So, yeah, they had to go back to 1981 to find something like that.
Okay, well, fair enough. Nevertheless, you responded as any decent person would. Anybody that does something like that, regardless of race, ought to be punished and receive their justice.
That's right.
And apparently these people did, and he laughed because he was obviously so totally poisoned against the idea that white people could stand up for their interests and still be sensible, that
right.
He was just really disconnected from reality. And that brings me to the passage that I think totally made your article, and I'll read it now. It reads, "You could only wonder the sadly twisted mind of Mr. Harris. He clearly thinks that anyone who defends the interests of whites, anyone whom the SPLC has called a quote-unquote hater, wants blacks killed. He's so convinced of this, he laughed in my face when I denied it. This is the colossal ignorance we're up against. People who have such a hardened caricature view of anyone they have been told is a quote-unquote racist that their minds stop working. This utter lack of imagination is testimony to just how deeply the facts don't matter approach to race has been beaten into people's minds." And perfectly stated.
Well, I couldn't say it any better myself. But, you know, as a matter of fact, I thought of that when I read a story in the November 2nd New York Times. And let me read the headline to you. The headline is, "French mayor who once defended journalists now denounces immigrants." Now, isn't that a weird title? You would think "French mayor who once defended journalists now denounces journalists" would be an interesting title. Well, it's a story about the mayor of a town called Béziers in France, who once was this sort of hero of the lefties because he defended journalists against thuggish dictators, and he believes in freedom of speech and all that kind of thing. So he's a good guy in the books of the leftists. But now that he's mayor of Béziers, he says he doesn't want Béziers to become majority Muslim. He wants his town to remain French. And so here is this utterly incomprehensible title that says, here's this guy who once was a good guy, and now, believe it or not, he wants France to remain French. They're just utterly uncomprehending that such a thing could happen. I think it's, again, this perfect example of this completely hardened view they have. How can anyone who wants France to remain French have ever done anything good in his life? That's really the mindset here. You could even imagine a title of an article that said, "Man who once loved his own children now denounces immigrants." They have this completely comic book idea that if you want your country to maintain its racial coherence, then it is impossible to imagine you doing anything admirable or good or even just normally human. That's the mindset
you're
up against. Yeah.
If you're white, of course, anybody else takes the positions that we take for our people, it's all well and good. But I think this interview is so fascinating, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you on was because, and I mentioned this before you came on in the second segment at the top of the show, I think it's fascinating to be able to provide to our audience the way these things work behind the scenes. And, of course, we didn't need to have you on tonight to convince our people that the media is biased against our positions. But this really was over the top in my experience and even in yours as well. And as you mentioned in the conclusion of your piece, that this guy in this interview was the perfect example of why race relations in America are at a dead stymie.
Yes.
These are the people that we rely on to provide us with a picture of what's going on out there. And in a perfect world, you think that it's going to be a non-biased and objective summary, but of course it's anything but that. And when we talk, go ahead.
James, I don't know, perhaps you were too modest to explain to your listeners about this, but you were, of course, the one who was approached first to be on this program. And your instincts were that this was a trap, this was not going to be fair, and you said, no way. And so you asked if I'd be willing to do it. I walked into the hornet's nest, and you were absolutely right. This was a trap, and it was really a waste of time. And so hats off to you for having sussed out the true situation.
Well, you're making me look too good. The truth of the matter is I'm a prima donna, and you're just a nice guy. No. In all seriousness, you know, I actually did mention both sides to the argument of taking an interview versus not taking it. On the one hand, you have it taped, which, of course, you don't, is not perfect when it's taped for obvious reasons, and versus the fact that you don't want to leave an opportunity to reach people. You don't want to leave an opportunity to you don't want to walk away from an opportunity to have access to a sizable audience. So, you know, there's two sides to this. This one for me just didn't feel good. I did share with the audience before you came on that you and I had talked about this a great deal, and we batted it back and forth, and you ended up being the one that went on the interview. But I don't know if we have time to get into it, but I guess we do. Very quickly, Jared, because you brought this out in the article when you were dissecting this, I guess the postmortems you could call it, you contrasting the NBC experience you had with the experience you had when you were on Voice of America, which was a West African television program?
Well, that's right. Voice of America has these special services they broadcast all around the world, and this was their broadcast to West Africa. So it was in French, and the whole program is put together by West Africans. And they listened very carefully and politely to the arguments that I was trying to get this Tony Harris, this American black, to understand. They listened, they reflected, and after the program was over, they congratulated me on standing up for my own people. In fact, the people who were on the set, they posed for photographs with me, all smiles. They took me back into their offices to introduce me to their colleagues. They said, "Here's a really interesting white guy. He's not like all those other apologetic white guys." They practically carried me around on their shoulders. It was really great. But they, I think it's because they haven't been completely poisoned by the egalitarian, anti-white nonsense that's so common in the United States.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we suffer these indignities right now. But the good news is common sense and natural order will prevail at some point, and I just hope that we are still around when these things start to turn back. But no matter what, Jared, rest assured, if I have anything to say about it, or if my descendants have anything to say about it, or if the descendants of anyone listening have anything to say about it, when that day comes, there will be monuments erected in your name. And, well, you know, listen, I mean that. I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy here, ladies and gentlemen, who has been fighting the fight. We celebrated 11 years on the air a couple of weeks ago. This is a guy who's been doing it for twice as long. And it's always an honor to have Jared Taylor on. And I thought that everyone would enjoy being able to hear a behind-the-scenes recounting of an experience that not many people get to have. And that's going into the belly of the beast and doing battle on behalf of a cause greater than oneself. And, Jared, I appreciate you taking the time to share that experience with everyone listening tonight.
Oh, James, it's always a pleasure. And you know how much I admire your work. So thank you so much.
Well, it's entirely our honor. Thank you for saying that. I guess we are mutual admirers, but and we've been around a long time together. I'm very proud of the fact that our cooperative partnership now spans more than a decade, and I'm looking forward to the years to come. Jared, enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks so much.
Jared Taylor, everybody. Check him out, amrin.com. When we come back, Scoop Stanton with his nightly report. And at the top of the second hour, Sean Bergen's going to break down what Quentin Tarantino was doing, cucking for Black Lives Matter. It's all coming up. Stay tuned.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Well, where do you go after having Jared Taylor on except to Scoop Stanton? That just seems to be the logical progression. I know Scoop's going to tell us, give us an update on what cops were murdered by Black Lives Matter this week, and we'll get into some other items as well this segment. Second hour, Sean Bergen, and so much more still to come this show tonight. It sounds like Scoop is having a liaison with a robot right now. We won't ask exactly in which capacity. But Scoop, welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Good evening, James. Good evening, Cispool family. James, currently I'm at work on the clock, and I'm going to have to call you back in about 5 minutes. I have to look for something. So,
all right. Well, you listen, it's live radio, folks. The working man's got to, you know, punch the clock. What are you going to do about that?
Right. Well,
I'll call you back. We'll be standing by.
Minutes. So things to discuss. Charlie Duff had a fundraiser in Detroit for the retired, injured police and firefighters, but you didn't hear anything about that. And Barack Obama was tearing up the roadways here in beautiful downtown Washington, D.C. But again, I'll call you back about 5 minutes or less.
All right, we'll be standing by for Scoop. This is live radio, so everybody start your watches, start the stopwatches, and you can tell me if Scoop makes that five-minute window. How about that? Leaving me high and dry here in this segment. I do want to take advantage of this blip in the outline of the program agenda, to share with you that I have been commissioned by faithandheritage.com. That is a website that blends in two very important aspects of who we are, our faith and our heritage, hence the name, I guess, to write a featured article about how I arrived, as they put it, at the intersection of Christianity and race realism. So you know, those are, of course, two things that I am very, very passionate about, and I think they are two things that are absolutely congruent. I believe that every issue that we address on this program is rooted in biblical principle. There are scripture verses to back up every stand we take on having a natural affinity for our own family, for our own tribe, our own country, our own nation. Our concern for corrupt Jewish power and influence, our disdain of homosexuality, so on and so forth. And it seems to be something that a lot of movement leaders and a lot of organizations on our side of the fence, they are either don't take a position at all on Christianity, or rather would be somewhat agnostic, or they are mildly hostile towards Christianity. Of course, nobody objectively criticizes, some of the false prophets, some of the fake leaders, and some of the disturbing trends that are manifesting themselves in the Christian church more than us, but we do it from a pro-Christian perspective. If you ask me to tell you what this show stands for, what we're all about, it would be pro-Christian, pro-South, pro-white. That's the political cesspool. And we advocate for and defend these positions without retreat, surrender, or apology. Pro-freedom, pro-family, pro-country. That's the political cesspool. And yes, we tackle the hard issues. We tackle race. We tackle the Jewish question. But we do it in a way that we feel is completely sanctioned by our faith. And so that brings me back full circle to this article that I've been working on for several days now. It will be featured exclusively at faithandheritage.com next week. And I have Winston Smith. You know, Winston Smith has lost the ability to hear. And so he's not on as much in his capacity as a co-host as he once was back years ago. But he still is on occasionally, and every time he's on, it's just great radio. But he has not lost the ability to think. And he is helping me do research for this article that, again, will appear at faithandheritage.com. And then after it appears there exclusively for a few days, we will repost it to our website. But anyway, that's going to publish sometime next week. And Winston will be on with me next Saturday, a week from tonight. In addition to us having Brother Nathaniel Kapner on next Saturday night, Winston will be on. We're going to be breaking down this article. And, again, the topic is how I arrived at the intersection of race realism and Christianity and why Christianity is right for our race and for our movement. And I think it's going to be a great piece, and I'm really proud of it. I used to write a lot more than I do now. I used to write for the American Free Press back in 2003, the year in between my run for State House and the beginning of this radio show. And from time to time, we do write feature-length articles at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Most of the time, I'm just writing little blurbs on news items that we're talking about. But anyway, writing is something that I like to do. I don't do it as much as I once did, but we got a big piece coming up, and Winston's helping me prepare that, and I'm writing it. He's doing some research and collaborating with me. We'll talk about it next week. Anyway, we got Scoop back on now. I've treaded enough water. Scoop, welcome back. I guess you've taken a break now, so tell us what's going on and what's on your mind tonight.
All right. Good evening once again, everybody. Sorry, somebody has to come out here and earn some money to pay for the millions and millions of dollars recipients and illegal aliens. But anyways, we want to remember some of the heroes that were casualties on Obama's war on cops. Officer Daniel Scott Webster, Albuquerque, the police department, died October 29th after being shot on October 21st. Perpetrator is alive and in jail. Also, Officer Danny Ellis, Richmond, Kentucky, police department, died November the 6th after being shot 2 days prior. The shooter is also alive, breathing in jail. But while we're watching the Boohoo Boehner and Conservative Ryan show, 2 weeks ago, four cops from Allentown, Pennsylvania were injured when cops were called to break up a school fight of 200 students. But you didn't hear that on your local news. Also this week, crime fighter extraordinaire Barack Obama went to Newark, New Jersey, the home of Rutgers Newark campus. I'm familiar with this area, and believe me, it is not nice. Anyways, he went to promote Newark's criminal justice reform, which is nothing more than giving free stuff away courtesy of you, the stuck the taxpayer. But while in Newark, did the president go across the Hudson River to pay his respects to Detectives Lou Ramos Moore of Holder? No. Did he visit any of the grieving family members? No. Did he stop at Holder's Command, Police Service Area Number 5? No again. Why? Because he stopped this war on cops with six words. Quote, police officers have a tough job. Unquote. But remember, the president is one of us. The president caused major delays on D.C.'s major artery known as the Beltway, not once, but twice on Wednesday. Was he going to speak on behalf of fallen officers? Nope. Was he signing legislation to prevent the 22 veteran suicides a day? Nope. Was he on his way to Joint Base Edwards to fly out to Detroit for Charlie Duff's chili cookout for Motown's Finest and Bravest? Absolutely not. The man of the people was off to a private fundraiser at a rich man's house in a rich white neighborhood. Also, this past Tuesday was election day here in Virginia, and being a Northern Virginia resident, most of the offices, statewide, countywide, local-wide offices, were held by Democrats running unopposed. So, one office I decided to vote for, an individual who has lots of integrity, honesty, and a very strong moral compass. His name is none other than James Edwards. Now, fortunately for Mr. Edwards, he did win the seat. Unfortunately, he was immediately recalled, impeached, tried, and convicted due to a sex scandal involving only himself. Congratulations, James, and back to you in the studio.
All right, wait, hang on. Did I win the write-in? Did I get elected to be the Attorney General of Virginia?
He's either Attorney General or Animal Control Officer.
Well, I'm not quite sure either, but I did post a picture of this. I got a good Scoop texted me this picture, so everybody went to vote, well, except for me, I guess, on Tuesday. There wasn't anything of interest happening in Tennessee on Tuesday. But there were elections held this Tuesday, and so I got this text from Scoop, a surprise picture straight from the voting booth, and it looks like there was a guy running unopposed for the Commonwealth Attorney, whatever that is. It's in Virginia, the Commonwealth Attorney. Okay, well, despite the fact that I don't live in Virginia and despite the fact that I'm not an attorney, Scoop thought I'd be great for that job. So he wrote me in against the incumbent Raymond Morrow who apparently was running unopposed. Did I win, Scoop, or did I lose?
No, you did lose. And unfortunately, here's my take on the two-party system. The Republicans are nothing but sellouts, but the Democrats are nothing but traitors. So, and I refuse to vote for a Democrat due to the current Black Lives Matter platform, bang-up job Obama did, Hillary Clinton, Bill de Blasio, Eric Holder. But then again, when it comes to Republicans, again, I got to plug my nose half the time because they're just as bad, if not worse, than the Democrats.
Well, I saw that you voted for Charlie LaDuff, too, in a write-in capacity. Did you go in and just write in everybody, or did you vote? I would appreciate that. I would respect that. If you went in and wrote in everybody, just went in to be an ass, that would be incredible. I would really appreciate it. Did you vote for anybody that was legitimately on the ballot, or did you just go in have a good time?
Yes. There's a county legislator. His name is John Guevara. He's a straight-up conservative. He came knocking on my door, told me his platform is limited government, just take care of education, public safety, transportation, and a temporary safety net for the county residents.
They're playing music. It's good to know you cast one legitimate vote, but we got to go. Get back to work. We'll talk to you next week. Stay tuned, everybody.